That must be one of the shortest verses, shortest passages that we've ever had in this church. It's just two verses. I'm familiar with it because it's about when Mary and Joseph bring their new baby to them, and they do what the law requires, which is to make sacrifice and to give thanks to God for the arrival of their baby. And Simeon blesses them. He blesses them and he blesses the child, and it's a great thing to have. It's one of the short verses that we have on this particular Sunday, being Mother and Sunday. Now, of course, our service is, of course, Mother and Sunday, and our passage reflects this. But of course, we give thanks for all those who love us and care for us, and all those who we pay special tribute to who have raised us in our early years. But today, we do give thanks to our mums, especially, who gave birth to us, who love us and care for us. Now, as some of you will know, Ruth and I have just recently become grandparents. Yay! What is it, a whole 2 weeks now? 2 weeks. We went down yesterday, the day before. These things clock stay in my mind. Yes, we went down the day before to see little Alfred, and he is cute. He is a proper joy. He's actually going out in a pram, and it doesn't matter how many bumps there are in the pavement, he seems to stay calm and asleep, and that's really lovely. And Linnea's parents, who are Swedish, as you may know, they've come over, and they were there as well. So it was great to be able to see them. Now, when you have children, one of the things that you have to think about is what you're going to call them, all right? Now, I've got three children, as some of you will know. Some of you are visitors, you won't know, so I'm telling you. I have three children, and they're called Samuel, Jonathan, and Naomi, all right? So we thought a lot about their names, and we decided to choose some biblical names, Samuel, Jonathan, and Naomi. And we did actually look them up. We looked to see what these names meant, all right? Now, Samuel, we heard about in our first passage today. And Samuel, according to Hannah, she said, "I call him Samuel because I ask God for him." Ask God for him. Actually, Samuel, I think in Hebrew, actually means heard by God. So he's asked of God and heard by God. And then we had Jonathan, and he's called a gift of God. Gift of God. And that's good as well. And then we have Naomi, and her name's Pleasant. Well, that's mainly true, but not always. You know. So that's good. But so, and Ruth, of course, if you just want to complete the picture, Ruth is my compassionate friend. What better name is that? Huh? Apart from when she isn't. But so as you can tell, the mere fact that we have children who are largely pleasant, given to us by God, means that we feel truly blessed by God, who has heard and answered our prayers. But of course, we recognize and appreciate that this is not true for everyone. Because although some people may have decided not to have children, others have simply may not be physically be able to do so, or simply have never had the opportunity. Which is why our passage for this morning is so pertinent, because it brings to our attention a woman who couldn't have children, and her name was Hannah. Now, Hannah lived in a very patriarchal society, in a culture which set great store upon a woman's ability to bear children. For children were considered to be a blessing from God, and a safeguard for the future. And there was actually quite some shame, considerable shame, in not having them. Therefore, Hannah felt distraught, and in some ways, which we might find hard to understand in our modern day and age, she questioned her worth. She questioned her value as a woman if she couldn't have children. What did it mean for her and the society? And of course, it was made worse by two other points. And firstly, the first one is quite something that we tend to gloss over when we read the passage. Firstly, the passage states in verse 6 of chapter 1, that it was the Lord who had closed her womb. It was the Lord who had closed her womb. So how on earth is a woman going to cope if she thinks that the Lord, who she believed loved her, had deliberately closed her womb? It's very hard to think about, isn't it? And the second thing that was difficult for her was that she was being bullied. And she was being taunted by her husband's second wife. Of course, they were allowed to have more than one wife in those days. I don't know how they managed it, but she was being bullied and taunted by her second husband, by her husband's second wife, whose name was Peninnah, who was flaunting her fertility and the children that she bore. And this became particularly obvious when the family would go on their annual trip to the sanctuary at Shiloh. And they would count their blessings before the Lord. Now, Elkanah loved Hannah, and he would try to comfort her and cheer her up. But however kind his efforts were, they did little to remove Hannah's sadness, her shame, and her humiliation. So one day, Hannah makes up her mind that if God had closed her womb, then she was going to go to the temple and she was going to plead with him to open it again and to bless her. Her prayers are so heartfelt that for a moment, Eli, the temple priest, assumes that she was drunk. So you can imagine she was quite in some distress. But she's not drunk, she's just distraught about her situation, and she pleads with God to change it. Hannah prays that if the Lord were to give her a child, and if it's a boy, well then she would give that child back to God. She would dedicate his life to the Lord, to serve the Lord as a Nazarite in the temple. A child, a boy, a man dedicated to the service of God. It's clear that Eli is not certain what to do with this peculiar woman who is in front of him. But to his credit, he gives her a blessing. Go in peace, he says, and may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked of him. Go in peace. Now, you know, there is a sense in this passage in which Hannah's distress mirrors and reflects the state of the nation. For the period known as the time of the judges, from which this story springs, was devastating. Much of society had fallen apart, and it was a time of great moral, religious, and social chaos, with each man very much at the mercy of another, and each doing his own thing, and doing whatever he thought was right or advantageous to himself. Even the temple was known to be in a state of corruption and decline. What they needed most was a renewed sense of direction. What they needed most was a renewed sense of purpose. What they needed most was a renewed sense of order and a renewed sense of hope. What they needed most of all was hope. And God heard their prayer, just as he heard Hannah's. The Lord opened her womb, and she gave birth to a boy called Samuel, a name which Hannah said, as I already said earlier, meant asked of God, but in Hebrew is more likely to mean heard by God. Now, of course, many women in Hannah's situation would long to have their prayers answered in this way. Sometimes they are, and sometimes they're not. But there is something special here. For within the context of this particular story, when a formerly barren woman miraculously gives birth to a child, it's likely that this child is going to be a significant figure in Israel's history. There's a pattern of that in the scriptures, and the same is true here. He would be a significant figure in Israel's history. For Hannah, but Hannah, No, for Hannah. She was faithful to her promise. And she dedicated the blessing that she had received, this baby boy, back to God. She was doing what the law required. Another woman who is doing what the law requires, faithfully devout. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And that child grew up, not only in the knowledge and the wisdom of God, but he grew up to be one of Israel's greatest prophets. But more than a prophet, he became a kingmaker. A kingmaker. Of course, there were some hiccups and mistakes along the way, but it was the start of God's kingdom being established. For yes, Samuel, as a grown man, chastised the nation's waywardness. As a prophet of God, he could do nothing else. And sometimes I wonder what he would say to us if he was here today. But through the anointing of King David, he brought the people together in a way that had never been seen before. And with the making of Jerusalem as the nation's capital, the people knew peace and stability. Eli's blessing, "May the Lord grant you peace," had been answered and had come to fulfillment. But of course, the significance of Hannah's story is even more profound for us as Christians. For many years later, another young woman would miraculously conceive and bear a child, who also in adult life travels to Jerusalem. The peace and the hope that he is able to bring is not just restricted to one person, one family, one nation, or even one time in history. For when Jesus, the Son of God, comes to Jerusalem, as we think about and anticipate in this season of Lent, he does so not just as a humble servant, but also as the King of Kings, offering peace, hope, and forgiveness to all who believe, to all who put their faith and their trust in him, to all who receive the good news and the hope that he brings. So yes, today we are grateful to our mothers, to our mums, for all that they've done for us. And we're grateful indeed to all those who've loved us at just the right moment, perhaps at vulnerable times in our lives, those who've blessed us and guided us and steered us along our path. But right now, at this moment, in our nation's history, perhaps, we need to be like Hannah, passionately praying that God will work through us, collectively, all of us, as we work to love, support one another, bringing an end to conflict, bringing comfort, light, love, and hope to a needy world. We need to be people of faith. We need to be people of courage and hope, care and concern. We need to be a people of love, so that together we all might look forward to a better present and a better future. In the name of Christ. Amen.